Amen. Isn't the Lord good while we're making our transition? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, this Wednesday morning. Praise the Lord. Trying to repair the pulpit here. Somehow or another it got busted. Praise God. Well, the Lord's good, isn't He? Why don't we just give the Lord a good clap offering here to settle in here for a few minutes. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. I'd like to have you stand with me today as we open the Word of the Lord, and we've got an important subject, and quite frankly, when Brother Cantrell called me a few months ago, and told me, he said, Brother Flowers, I'd like for you to address the subject of army green. I said, what's that? Is that what the army gets after it's eaten a bad meal or what? And he said, no, that's spiritual warfare or preparing for spiritual warfare. I, on one hand, feel a little qualified because I've done a little bit of it. Now, on the other hand, I feel totally unqualified because I've gotten whipped at spiritual warfare a few times. Anybody here has ever had victory against the enemy? Would you raise your hand? Anybody here ever suffered any defeat? Would you raise your hand so I don't feel all alone? Praise God. So we have an important subject today, preparing for spiritual warfare. I'd like for you to turn with me in the Word of the Lord to the book of 2 Corinthians. The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 10. Praise God. Wow, that was a very powerful praise service this morning. Brother Bobo, if you're still here, you did an awesome job leading in worship. And I walked in about 20, 25 minutes ago, and you could just feel the power of the Lord here already. And I think that's so beautiful in setting the backdrop for our classes today. Wow, what a beautiful spirit of the Lord. I still feel the presence of the Lord here. Amen. Amen. You know, while we're here already, most of us have been worshiping God and clapping our hands. There's people all over this place that are waging warfare right now. They're trying to fight off that spirit of sleepiness. And in their spirit, they know they ought to get up and come on to the house of God, but some of them are still fighting that spirit of sleepiness. We need to pray that they can win the war today, right? Come on down and join us. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and beginning at verse number 3. If you found it, would you say, praise the Lord. Paul is speaking here, and he says, for although we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Although we live in a very physical environment, although we breathe air and drink water and eat food, the war that we are waging is not a worldly or a carnal or an earthly war. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through our own talents. No? But the weapons that we use are mighty through our abilities. No? The weapons we use are mighty through who? In other words, if they're not through Him, they're not very mighty, are they? My prayer is ineffectual unless it's through God. My fasting is ineffectual unless it's through God. But all the weapons that I have, thank God, they're not dependent on who I am, but they become mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And finally, verse 6, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Amen. Why don't we just lift our hands today and just ask the Lord to really open our spirits and minds. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We have already felt your presence in this place in the beautiful worship hour that has preceded us. And now, God, as we address this beautiful subject today, very powerful and important in 1997 for us, I ask you, Lord, to open our understanding to your word. God, feed us from your word this morning. Anoint my lips and anoint our ears to hear the word of God. And prepare us, God, to go about your warfare. Prepare us, Lord, to establish your kingdom. We pray it in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, let's just worship him a little bit. Thank you this morning, Lord. Thank you this morning, Lord. Thank you this morning, Lord. We praise you today, God. We praise you today, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. And everyone said amen. You may be seated in his lovely name. Had a young man come to me a few months ago, and he was struggling with something. I knew that he had been struggling with it. I'd been praying for him as he struggled with it, as he dealt with it. But he came to me all perplexed and confused and curious and wondering, what's wrong with me? So what do you mean, what's wrong with you? He said, well, I'm fighting such and such, and I'm fighting this, and I'm fighting this attitude, and I'm fighting these emotions, and I want to know what I did wrong. Is there sin in my life? And I had to explain to him that you're feeling what you're feeling, not because you did anything wrong, but because you're doing things right. See, there's a mentality sometimes that it's easy for you and I to get. And that is that since I'm living for God, everything ought to be a picnic. Since I'm full of the Holy Ghost, life ought to be easy. Since I've been baptized in the name of Jesus, everything ought to just flow just like God's planned it all out. Everything just ought to flow. And when everything doesn't flow the way we think it ought to go, and when things become topsy-turvy, and when we go through spiritual warfare, sometimes we have a tendency to go, what am I doing wrong? When in actuality, you may not be doing anything wrong. You may be doing everything right. Life in living for God is not intended to be a spiritual picnic. It's intended to be warfare. Would you say that word with me? Warfare. I'm telling you something. From the moment you're filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and if there's somebody here tonight that you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, let me tell you something. You became an arch enemy of the devil. When you were baptized in the name of Jesus, you chose sides. And that devil that has left you alone all your life, just tempted you and tested you and tried to get you lured deeper in sin, once you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he's not going to just leave you alone because you have declared that you're on the Lord's side. Praise God. And when you're filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name, you open your eyes and yes, what? You're still filled with the joy of the new salvation experience. And you're still full of the glory of it all. I want you to know something. You have stepped right into the middle of a raging battlefield. And there's things flying all around you. Praise God. It's not intended to be a picnic. You become a threat to the devil. You become a threat to everything that he stands for. Now, some of you standing there looking at me going, I become a threat? How can I be a threat? I'm only 4'2", and I only weigh 38 pounds. I'm going to tell you something. It's not how big you are. It's not how old you are. It's not how much you know. It's that Holy Ghost that now lives inside of you. And you are a threat to the kingdom of the devil. And he is going to come against you. But thank God, we don't have to just stand there and take everything that he throws our way. Oh, no, we don't. Amen. I truly believe with everything in me that the devil has greater respect for our power in the Holy Ghost than we have. I'm going to say that again. Some of you didn't get that. I really believe today that our enemy has greater respect for the power of God in us and working through us than we have.
we have a tendency to look at our weaknesses. We have a tendency to concentrate on how weak I am. But the devil's not concentrating on that. He's concentrating on the power of God that's flowing through my veins. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. I remember one time in school, I think it was in junior high school, and I saw a fight going on. Come on. Anybody ever see a fight at school? And you know how it is when the fight's going on. Everybody comes running. And there was this guy named George, and he was the big dummy of the school. He was big. He was bigger than I was, but he was kind of a dummy. And the other kids was always picking on George because he just was kind of a few bricks shy of a full load. And he was real easy going, and he was a lover, not a fighter. And nobody ever saw him lose his cool. And he was just always grinning from ear to ear, trying to make friends and trying to placate people and find his place in. And he was awkward and he was bulky, but he was huge. I mean, he was huge. He was easily one of the biggest guys in the school, but he was a dummy. And I remember this one afternoon, there was these three guys. They were I don't even remember their names, but nobody really liked them. They hung out together and they were mean. And one of them, I think his name was Ernie. He was the smallest one of them, and he had an attitude. I mean, he just had an attitude. And one day, George had done something that made them mad. And so Ernie had him down and was just beating him. And so this little scrawny guy had this big lummox of a guy down on the ground there outside the gym and was just beating on him and beating on him and beating on him. And some of the girls were around there going, get off, you know, he doesn't know any better. You're going to hurt him. And the big George, he just laid there and took it. He didn't know how to respond, you know. This little guy, now he had the power all that time to just fling that little dude off of him. But he didn't know how to respond. Nobody had ever done this to him. But then all of a sudden, that little Ernie, I walked up about the time to see him make a mistake. He hit him in the nose. And blood went. And I heard George, big George, say, ow! And all of a sudden, he forgot who he was. And he forgot where he was, and he forgot that he was supposed to be the big dummy. And before anybody knew what had happened, he stood up and just picked the little guy up with him. And fury came on his face. And you should have seen what happened to that little guy. He backed up. It was like as though he was saying, what did I do, you know? It was easy while he was down on the ground. But all of a sudden now, and he took off running as fast as he could run. You know, that's what James was talking about when he said, you resist the devil and he will flee from you. Praise God. He'll flee from you. I believe that tonight. I believe the devil has more respect for the power of God flowing through us than sometimes we do. We don't realize the power that's flowing through us. But when we stand up and we resist him, he flees. He gets out of that room as fast as he can get out of there. Praise God. Praise God. This war that we are born into began a long time ago. The Bible tells us the war began in heaven when the devil decided to become like God. Wanted to be like God, and the Bible simply declares there was war in heaven. There was war in heaven. Thank God the devil and a third of the angels were kicked out of heaven, found themselves here on earth. But the war didn't involve mankind at that time because mankind wasn't even created yet. But it quickly involved man soon after their creation in the Garden of Eden. The war continued there in the Garden of Eden when Satan saw man, Adam and Eve, God's favorite creation. And Adam saw man as the perfect way to get at God. This is God's favorite creation. I'll attack God through that. And Satan began to tempt them. And you know the story there. And Adam failed God. And Eve failed God. Unless we become too harsh against Adam and Eve, let's remind ourselves real quickly, I failed God too, and so have you. And God came down on the scene, and God made a statement in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. He said, and I will put enmity, I will put hatred between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. And that is where this spiritual warfare that we are even engaged in today began, was that hatred that God put in the seed of the enemy and the seed of the woman, which is us.
I'll put a hatred there. I'm going to tell you something today. Every single one of you, the devil hates you. I said the devil hates you. He hates you. He hates you the way you look. He hates the way you dress. He hates the way you walk. He hates the way you... putting me against him. Praise God. Amen. Yes. He bruises the head, but we bruise his head, and he bruises the heel every once in a while. We win some, we lose some, but I got news for you. I know who the victor is going to be. Praise God. And when you're baptized in Jesus' name, and when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you are born. I said you are born. Everybody said we are born. You are born in the middle of a raging war. Said you are born in the middle of a raging fire. There's somebody here today that before you got the Holy Ghost, everything was going smooth, and your family relations were smooth, and your school relations were smooth, and your job relations were smooth. But the very moment you got the Holy Ghost, it seemed like life began to come apart, and your family began to turn on you. Say, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. You were born in the middle of a battlefield. Hello? Said you were born in the middle of a battlefield. That's what happened. Praise God. And the war continues today. Paul writes to us and he says, don't let Satan, or lest Satan would get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. One of the most dangerous things that can happen to you and I is to be ignorant of the way the devil works. To be ignorant of the way the devil works. My wife and I had a falling out here a while back. I was at wrong and she was at wrong. Both of us were at wrong. And we just had one of them little marital spats, and it got to bothering me, and I felt I was right and she felt she was right. And we just decided to put it aside for a while. Finally, I called her a couple hours later and I said, hey, baby, someone talked to you about something. She said, yeah, what's that? I said, you know what? This is just the way the devil works, isn't it? And she says, yes, honey, it is. I said, you know what? I said, This little matter, whether I'm right or whether you're right, it's not bigger than us, is it? She said, no. I said, I'm not ignorant of the way the devil works. Why don't we just pray together right now, and we just bind him up and cast him out, and we just begin to pray over the telephone. I tell you what, I'm not ignorant of the way the devil works. The devil's got all kinds of little things to get my goat and to get your goat. He wrote on in Ephesians chapter 6, he said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's deeper than that. It's more powerful than that. But we wrestle against principalities. We wrestle against powers. We wrestle against rulers of darkness of this world. We wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. I took the church that I'm pastoring now and I began to fast and pray for revival. Began to fast and pray and fast and pray. And the city I am is predominantly Catholic, as is most of the state. And there's a mission there that's been there close to 200 years in that city, just down the street from the church. And I began to pray and pray and fast and fast and pray and pray and fast and fast. For the first 6 months I was there, that's about all we did, was just pray and fast. And we began to see a move of God flow through there. People began to get the Holy Ghost. Strangers began to come to the church. And I tell you, my wife and I were living in the church at that time. And we were living in an apartment upstairs. And one night in the middle of the night, about 3 o'clock in the morning, she came to me and she said, honey, the baby needs a bottle. Could you go down to the church kitchen? I've got extra milk down there in the refrigerator. And so no problem. So I pull on my clothes and I go down through the church. And we've got a big picture window out in the front foyer. And light comes from a street lamp across the street and floods in and lights the auditorium. And I walk down through there and I took a shortcut through the auditorium and got the baby's bottle. About 3 a.m., and I'm walking back through the sanctuary, except that one thing had happened. The sanctuary now was pitch black. Couldn't figure it out. So I feel my way down through the pews and down through the aisle, and I go down through that corridor, and there's that big picture window, except I can't see it. It's just black. I can't describe how black it was. And I'm going down through there, and I don't know what's happened. I thought, well, maybe that light went out across the street. I don't know what happened. I can't see nothing. I'm feeling my way down through there. And all of a sudden, something hit me right here. It felt like a sledgehammer.
And it picked me up and it threw me back into that sanctuary. Literally about 10, 12 feet it threw me. And I thought, wow, what in the world was that? You know, it's 3 o'clock. I really hadn't woke up yet. So I said, well, I don't know what happened, you know. So I walked back down there and it picked me up again and threw me again. And I wised up real quick. And I didn't hear anything, but I felt something in my spirit say to me, you've been fasting and praying against me. I've been here 200 years. You've been here 6 months. I'm going to stay and you're going to leave. Well, be honest with you, I chickened out and I ran back the other way through my office and around the building upstairs. But it made me mad. It made me mad. It made me mad. And I got up about 5 that morning. I began to quote that scripture, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. And I went back down to that auditorium the next night and I said, I dare you to show up here. I said, you may have been here 200 years and I may only be here 6 months, but I serve a God that made you. I serve a God that knows no beginning and that knows no end. Hello. I said, Spirit, I don't know what your name is, but you had a beginning. My God didn't have a beginning, and you have an end, and my God has no end. Greater is he that is within me than he that is within the world. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Some of the guys there in the church began to have prayer meetings, all-night prayer meetings. There was 4 of them there one night praying. When the guest register book table that was in the back, literally, they all 4 of them testified to it. It picked up and it flew all the way across the auditorium and smashed in the wall, put a hole in the wall, and it busted into pieces. And they came calling me scared to death. What are we going to do? I said, are you going to let the devil intimidate you? He's just trying to scare you and trying to show how big he is. I got a God that's bigger than that. I said, I got a God that's bigger than that. I got a God that's bigger than that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something else. Every Sunday morning at 6 o'clock, every single Sunday morning for 8 months, it found me outside the church at 6 o'clock in the morning with a bucket of paint and a paintbrush, and we have an alley that runs along the side of our church, and every Saturday they would graffiti that wall. And every Sunday morning I had to paint graffiti off of that. Before I could go pray and get ready for church, I had paint and graffiti off the building. Just painting it off every Saturday morning. I don't know how many buckets of paint I put on the side of that church. One Sunday morning, about 7 or 8, it was right after all this. I was so mad. I was out there painting. I was thinking, Lord, I don't need to be out here painting. I need to be in there praying and get my soul ready for church. I went, and a brother came early for Sunday school. And I said, Terry, come out here with me. He said, where are we going? I said, just come out here with me. I said, you go stand in that end of that alley, and I'm going to stand in this end of this alley. We're going to have a Holy Ghost prayer meeting right in here in this alley. First of all, he helped me, and we painted the graffiti off the building. And then we raised our hands to heaven and I said, Lord, this is your building, it ain't mine. And if you can't protect it, I sure can't protect it. But Lord, I'm tired of painting graffiti off. Now I'm going to tell you something. I am not exaggerating. The Lord is my witness. Every single Sunday morning for 7 to 8 months, I had painted the side of that building. Every single. There was not one Sunday it missed. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you, Lord, to set angels to watch this side of this building. I'm going to tell you what, since that time, we went over 3 years starting that Sunday with absolutely no graffiti on the side of that building. Praise God. Praise God. About the very next Saturday, I left one part out. The very next Saturday, there was a can of aerosol spray paint laid there on the ground. It was just laying there. They hadn't got to spray the building yet. I would love to know, and when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask the Lord to rewind me back to that day and let me see what happened. I want to know how that spray can got laid there on the ground. It looks to me like some young punk was getting ready to scrawl his gang initials when he got scared out of his wits. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I serve a God that's a living God. I serve a God that's a living God. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I better get to teaching here. The battleground. I love this preacher that we've had. This has just been incredible. I love this kind of Holy Ghost preaching. We need this kind of preaching. Straight to the point, don't beat around the bush. Because I'm going to tell you the battleground that he fights you on. Now, you and I, when we talk about spiritual warfare, we envision us going up and wrestling against princes over nations and and all that kind of stuff. I got news for you. Before you ever wrestle with any prince of a nation, you got to wrestle with the prince of your own life and the prince over your family. And you've got some other things to defeat before you work your way up. Hello? You've got to wrestle with that spirit that's going to attack your mind. Everybody say, my mind. My mind. Come on, let's say it again. My mind. 2 Corinthians 10, we read it this morning. We walk in the flesh. We do not war after the flesh. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Listen what it says in verse 5. It says, casting down, what? Imaginations. Everybody said imaginations. You better watch wild imaginations. I took my 12-year-old son one day, and we were walking through the mall just here recently, and I said, son, come with me. He said, where are we going? I said, we're going to that video arcade. He said, why are we going in there, Dad? He said, I know you don't like them places. I said, I'm going to show you some things. We began to walk around there and watch people play. I said, see those creatures there? Them two guys are in there fighting there? I said, that is an image of Baal, according to the Old Testament. I began to call out the different false gods, Molech and all the other false gods. I said, and they're coming back. I said, this is creating imaginations in these young people. They're creating visions and images. You better watch your mind. You need to guard your mind. You need to guard your mind. I said, you need to guard your mind. We need to guard our minds. My mind is reserved. I said, my mind is reserved. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, think on these things. I don't have enough hours in the day to wrestle against evil imagination. I don't have enough time to allow lust to invade my mind. Watch what you're reading. Well, there's no dirty pictures. You know what? Words can be just as bad. Hello, we're talking about spiritual warfare this morning, and the one way the devil can get you, I'm telling you, I've studied war. It's just one of my things. I study history a lot. And we had soldiers over in Vietnam that got really disillusioned with why they were there, and they felt betrayed by the country. They felt betrayed by the government, and they were there in the foxhole, and they used to be able to tune into a little radio station. It also happened in World War II with a young lady who had a sweet, sexy voice. And they called her Tokyo Rose. And sometimes, I read an account one time where a commander-in-chief, commander came into this foxhole area in World War II where these guys were sitting around the radio, and they were hungry for a woman's companionship, and they were listening to this sweet, sexy voice of Tokyo Rose. And they were just gathered around the radio, and their commander came over, and he took that radio, and he began smashing it and bashing it into little pieces. And they looked up at him, and they said, why? He said, you're just listening to the voice, but you're not listening to what she's saying. She was there in her way going, oh, come on, boys. Why don't y'all just give up? Why don't you just go on home? You know we're going to beat you. They weren't paying attention to the message, but she was planting seeds of doubt, seeds of unbelief in their spirit, seeds of unbelief in their minds. And she was feeding on that propaganda. I've got news for you. There has never been an enemy the United States has ever had that has had so much propaganda as the devil has. You can't go away from the propaganda that the devil feeds you. He feeds it to you every time you turn around. Hello. Praise God. And I'm telling you, the number one battleground in spiritual warfare is guarding the mind. I said guarding the mind. Guarding the mind. 2 Corinthians 11, Paul talked about this. He said, but I fear. Paul had a fear. He said, lest by some means, as the serpent beguiled or tricked Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Paul was talking about this corruption that the devil's got aimed at your brain and my brain. You got to guard your brain. Guard your brain. Guard your mind. Guard your mind. Another area the devil likes to attack in us is our spirit. Hello, I don't care how much you pray, it's easy to cop a bad attitude. Hello. Beware of people that are on an emotional roller coaster like this. It's hard to serve God when you're up one day and down the next. And I'll tell you something, it's impossible to do a work for God when you're on a roller coaster like this. And the devil understands that, and he'll feed that emotional roller coaster, and he'll put loops in there that'll make Superman the Escape look pitiful. He'll have you on a Sunday morning, Sunday night high, and a Monday afternoon blue. And a Wednesday night high and a Thursday night blue. Because your enemy, the devil, understands that as long as you are emotionally up and down and up and down, he don't have to worry about you. He has diluted your threat to his kingdom. You can't do a thing for God because you're too worried about being up and down. You're getting seasick in the spirit from being up and down. Guard your attitude and guard your emotion. Praise God. Praise God. I'm talking about spirit warfare. I'm just talking about the way the devil works on us. Because before we get into other realms of spirit warfare, we've got to first protect us. Praise the Lord. Your adversary, the devil. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Due time. Casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. Peter wrote, be sober. Sober. Everybody said sober. It's a word that's getting a lot of use today. Be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He is looking. He is prowling. He is always on the alert. The devil never gets drunk. The devil's not lazy. The devil's always vigilant. And if my enemy's never drunk, I better never be drunk. If my enemy's vigilant, I better be vigilant. If my enemy's always on the prowl, I need to be always on the prowl. Why? Because he is seeking to devour me. Verse 9 says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. And that word steadfast means to be consistent about it. Resist him on a consistent and a continual basis. To resist him. To resist him. You know, my mind is blown at people that resist the devil once and then forget to resist him again. He's not stupid. He'll hit you once, you resist him, he'll come back again. And if you're not resisting when he comes back, woe is you. Oh, let me just say something here. This is important in this area of him attacking us in our spirit warfare here. You know, our enemy is not dumb. And if he finds something that gets you, he's going to keep using it against you until you gain victory over it. I had a dear lady call me the other day on a Sunday a couple weeks ago and said, Pastor, I'm not coming to church this morning. I said, well, okay, you know, why? Well, I've got this headache. I said, be careful. Because if the devil finds out that all it takes is a headache to keep you out of a church service, guess what you're going to get every time there's church? If the devil finds out all it takes is a backache to make you miss a prayer meeting, guess what you're going to get every time there's a prayer meeting? The devil's not dumb. If he finds out that something works, he's going to use it against you. And the only time he's going to change his tactics is when you prove to him that this headache no longer works. You give me a headache, I'm still going to church. Give me a backache, I'm still going to prayer meeting. Hello. Now, it may be something else. There may be somebody that every time you go through a financial difficulty, your spirit plummets and you quit praying. You quit being faithful to God and all that. Well, then guess what you're going to have? Because whatever it takes to knock you off your horse, that's what he's going to use. And he's going to keep using it until you prove that that no longer works against you. And then he'll quit using it, but never mind, he'll find something else. Oh, God is good, isn't he? So before I begin to wage spiritual warfare against princes of nations and that, I've got to make sure I can wage spiritual warfare in my own life and prove Satan. I've made up my mind. I'm living for God. You throw whatever you want to throw at me. You do whatever you want to do at me. But you can't make me quit. Amen. You can't take away the joy of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And when you reach that stability and that point, then you're ready to really wage spiritual warfare and gain revival and victory in the town that you live in. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. Somebody said, praise the Lord. I've got just a few minutes left, and I want to touch two very important things. Very beautiful story in the New Testament is given to us in the book of Matthew, the 17th chapter. And a young man, a young father, came to the Lord, and he said, Lord, verse 15, have mercy on me, or have mercy on my son. For he is lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. How pathetic. How pathetic. I said, how pathetic. Note that this was after. This was after. The Lord had sent the disciples out two by two into all the region round about, and they had already cast out other devils. They had already worked miracles, and they had come back to the Lord. So this was after the fact, but there was something that was missing. They could not cast this demonic demon out of this young boy. Verse 17, and Jesus answered and said, O you faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer or put up with you? Bring him hither to me. Jesus rebuked the devil. He departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart, and they said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and by fasting. There are certain things that the devil does. There are certain enemies that he opposes us with. There are certain spirits that we go up against that I hate to disappoint you, but a 5-minute prayer meeting will not break that wall down. It will not cast that spirit out. A 15-minute dedication will not suffice in that time. Hello? There's some things that are only going to go out through prayer and fasting. Much prayer and much fasting. When you pray, lay a foundation of praise. Always lay a foundation of praise. Your prayer will never be bigger than the foundation of praise that you build it on. You can't lay a 4-minute praise foundation and go have a 2-hour prayer meeting. Sorry. But your praise is the foundation that prayer that you are praying is built on. And it's got to have a rock solid foundation. There's several reasons why we worship when we begin prayer. Among those reasons is, number one, the devil hates praise and he's going to leave anytime you begin worshiping God. The second reason is that God inhabits the praises of his people. You want to have a dynamic prayer session, you begin worshiping God, and the first thing that happens is the devil leaves and God comes. Oh, praise God. And then you can move on into some deep and some wonderful aspects of prayer. Hallelujah. Notice what Jesus said in his disciples' prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Everybody said, thy kingdom come. Everybody said, thy will be done. before he moved any further in prayer, he established the first thing I'm going to pray is for the will of God. Not what I want. You know why some of us don't pray very effectual prayers? It's because we're hung up on the self side of praying. We've got things that bother us, things that we're concerned about, money matters and family matters and relational matters, and we never get over to what God's concerned about right now. I'm telling you, before I pray about what I'm concerned about, I want to be praying about what God's concerned about. Because I firmly believe with everything in me that if I take care of God's business, God will take care of my business. Oh, praise God. I can't tell you how many times when I've moved into prayer and suddenly God put a burden in me for something that I wasn't even aware of, and I began to pray about it and take care of God's business, that when I got over about my own concerns, I found out they were already taken care of. Because He knows before I pray what I'm going to ask Him. And while I'm moving in the realm of God, and I'm praying about what God's concerned about, and I'm praying about what God wants, God's already moving on my behalf. He knows what I need. I said, He knows what I need. I had a situation not long ago, a financial situation. I needed a miracle of several thousand dollars. And I'm telling you, when I came into that prayer meeting, all I could see was dollar signs and bills. I'm telling you, that's all I could see. But I began to worship God, and the Spirit began to move. And I went over the piano and began to play, and the Holy Ghost flowed in that auditorium, just me and Jesus. And we began to have church, just me and Jesus. And then all of a sudden, a burden for somebody else came on me. And in my mind, I began to think, wait a second. I didn't come to pray for them. I planned on spending all morning talking to God about these bills and this financial worry that I'm so upset about. But anyway, okay, God, if that's what you want. And I began to intercede for this individual and pray for this individual. And I kept praying until finally I found a release in my spirit. About then the phone rang and I was aggravated because I thought, oh no, now I still can't go. I've got to go answer the phone. I can't, you know, time is gone. The time that I had set to pray about my needs, I spent praying about God's needs. And I went to answer the phone, and the answer on the phone was the answer that the prayer that I had come to pray was already taken care of. You see, while I was taking care of God's business, God was taking care of my business. It just works that way. I said it just works that way. I said it just works that way. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, time's over, but I'm going to tell you one more thing. Let's say fasting. Come on, say it again, fasting. Say it again, fasting. You're not too young to fast. Hello, I got news for you today. Fasting is not just for pastors. Somebody will give me an amen on that. Fasting's not just for the old people in your church. I've had so many young people tell me, you don't understand, I can't fast. My body needs that energy. Hogwash. I believe God's looking for an army of young people that will give themselves to fasting. Pushing away from the table of food and praying and beginning to seek the face of God about some things. Hallelujah. Say, well, I can't fast. Well, start fasting. Hello. Young guy came to me not too long ago and said, Pastor, I feel like I should go on about a 4-day fast. He said, but I can't. I said, why? He said, because I've never fasted. I said, that's a shame. Jesus didn't say, if you fast. He said, when you fast. He didn't say, if you decide to pray. He said, when you pray. Well, how do I go on a 4-day fast? I said, well, you can either do it the fast way or the slow way. He said, what's the fast way? I said, just do it. No breaking into it. I got news for you. Yeah, I guess there's ways you can break into it, but fasting is hard. One lady came to me and said, Pastor, I'm sorry, you're just going to have to excuse me. I can't fast. Every time I fast, I just get this horrible headache. You know what? You're supposed to get a headache when you fast. In fact, if you don't get a headache, you might be cheating. There's some things that are supposed to hurt. Praying is supposed to be uncomfortable sometimes. Fasting is supposed to cause the body to ache and moan and groan and bellyache. That's what it's all about. Killing the flesh. Praise God. Pastor, I can't fast because when I fast, I can't concentrate. That's what it's supposed to do to you. It's supposed to knock all that carnal nonsense out of there so God can talk to you. Oh, and I'm telling you something. I want to know today, I got to close, but I want to know today what would happen in California. What would happen in California? What would happen in California if just 1,000 apostolic Holy Ghost-filled young people began to seriously fast and pray for a move of God? Not wait on somebody else to do it, not wait on another generation to do it, but what would happen if we took it on ourselves? And from the north to the south, from the east to the west, there was young people on every day saying, you know what, I'm not eating today. God, send a revival. I'm not eating today. God, move on this city. I'm not eating today. Sorry. God, we need a Holy Ghost outpouring. Why don't you stand with me today? Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and talk to the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Why don't we give the Lord a good clap offering of praise right now? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I feel good in my spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. We had a session of prayer and fasting here a while back, or I did. Several days, and right after that, I was at church one day just praying for a little while, and the fast was over, and I got hungry, and so I drove down to Jack in the Box. And, you know, there's nothing, you know, we need to learn to hate sin, don't we? That's what I've really been praying. Lord, teach me how to hate sin. It doesn't come natural to me. I'm sorry. My nature loves sin, so I'm trying to learn how to hate and despise sin, and we need to learn that. If I ever figure it out, I'm going to tell you, I promise you. But I'd just come out of a good Holy Ghost session. My eyes were still puffy with tears, and the Holy Ghost was still moving on me. You know how it is. And I got my truck, and I drove down to Jack in the Box, and I'm sitting there, and I give her my order. Yeah, two tacos and a medium Coke and some French fries and all that good fattening stuff. And I'm sitting there. You know how it is after you come out of, and you're still praying in your spirit. I didn't want the radio on. I didn't want to be bothered. I was, oh, thank you, Lord. You know, waiting in line. Oh, hallelujah. And this clown pulls up over here, and he parks, and he turns on his boom box. You know, one of them big ones that shakes three blocks down. And this vulgarity began to come out. I mean, it was one of the gangsta raps that the vulgarity and all the obscenity. And I mean, it was horrible. It was putrefying. My windows were up. My air conditioner were on, and I could hear it very clear. And I was so angry in my spirit. And before I knew what had happened, I pointed my finger at that car, and I said, you spirit of obscenity, I just had a revival prayer meeting for revival in this city. How dare you come into this city? I rebuke you, spirit of obscenity, in the name of Jesus. I bind you in Jesus' name. I'm going to tell you young people something. As I said that, it went, and the doors open, and these guys get out, and they're looking around. They open their trunk, and I see them messing around with these speakers. Something happened to their system. Oh, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Don't tell me prayer don't work. It's too late. God bless you. Our next class is in about 10 minutes.